So we'll be talking about our heavenly dwelling, and our text for this morning would be riding on 2 Corinthians 5, 1, chapter 5, verses 1 to 21. But I would like to go back to the series that we have, The Last Days, particularly with the breaking of kingdom living. And the kingdom of God actually is such a powerful topic that it would take... We could extend that topic on and on. So it would be appropriate. And then we have the teaching about the rapture. So we have a little recap on that, because this builds up towards the direction where we're headed, which is heaven bound. Now, there are Old Testament accounts regarding our being translated, resurrection, if you please. Isaiah 25:7-8, it says there, on this mountain he will destroy the shroud that enfolds all peoples. That's us. The sheet that covers all nations. That's where we are. He will swallow up death forever. The sovereign Lord will wipe away the tears from all faces. He will remove the disgrace of his people from all the earth. The Lord has spoken. And once the Lord has spoken, no one could reverse that. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall never pass away. It's a sure thing. So you and I are on this path that we will experience this. This would be part of our story as creatures of God here on earth. Isaiah 26:19 also captures this, but your dead will live. Their bodies will rise. You who dwell in the dust, wake up and shout for joy. Your dew is like the dew of the morning. The earth will give birth to her dead. Wow. That promise embraces each and every one of us again. Not the cats, not the dogs, but human beings. Amen? Daniel 12:2 says, multitudes who sleep in the dust of the earth will awake, some to everlasting life, others to shame and everlasting contempt. Again, this reinforces the foundation of our belief that one of these days we will rise up. And our loved ones who had gone ahead of us will rise up. Now, going to the New Testament account, there's an echo of this. This material has been used last Sunday, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse number 15 to 18, and it says there, according to the Lord's own word. This came from the lips of our Savior. We tell you that we who are still alive, who are left till the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel and the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we'll be with the Lord forever. Sometimes when I use this in the devotional that I have in the skilled unit or rehab, and I want to twitch it a little bit, and so we'll be, because they're not looking, they don't have PowerPoints there. So I just read it in the Bible, and I will be saying, and so we'll be with the Lord for a month or a year. And I could hear the people protesting, no, forever, forever. And of course, we have a Greek word for that. That's aptarsha. And aptarsha would mean endless existence with God. That means after 10,000 years, we're ready for another 10,000 years. And after a million years, we're ready for another million years. Life with no end with the Lord. That's why the following verse, in verse number 18, it says there, therefore encourage each other with these words. If you are not stirred up with this, by the way, we're not going to grow old when we're there. 1 John 3:2, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. He doesn't grow old. So this could be a source of encouragement for the church to grasp, for us to enjoy and to value that relationship that we have with the Lord, not to... play around. And when we were in the nursing home, I think I shared this before, but there's this old lady that said, we don't mess with Jesus. We don't play with Jesus. Your relationship with Jesus, my relationship with Jesus, is the most serious thing in the earth. This is our relationship is the most important relationship there is in the world. Matthew 17, 1 to 8 says there, after 6 days, now this captures why do we build on the credential of the Lord Jesus Christ when it comes to our heavenly dwelling, our rapture, our kingdom living. Why do we value, why do we fix ourselves in the person of Christ? And so there's no choice but to look at his credentials. Matthew 17, 1 to 8, it says there, after 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John, the brother of James, and led them up to a high mountain by themselves. There he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light. Just then there appeared before them Moses and Elijah talking with Jesus. Peter said to Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will put 3 shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. Now this part in verse 2 says, there he was transfigured before them. Do you remember that the Lord Jesus Christ says, I am the door? He could go from one realm and back to another realm. So he is the door from that realm of heaven and the realm of earth. No one else could do that. No one else could do that with glory. And so our fate hinged into the person of the Lord Jesus Christ because of this credential. Okay? And so Christ carries the title of being full of grace and truth. And in that mountain of transfiguration, we have Moses and we have Elijah. Moses, of course, was the one who ushered in the law. And Elijah is the representation of the prophets. No one is greater than Moses during his time, and no one is greater than Elijah during his time. They are the pillars of faith that guides us to the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why we have a testimony that is so strong coming from the law, and a testimony that is so strong from the reinforcer of the law, which is Elijah and the prophets. So, of course, in this mix, we have Peter. Peter represents us. And Peter is, you could just see how trivial, shallow Peter is. That he didn't see the weight of this. And he actually suggested that he was going to make shelters for Jesus, for Moses, and for Elijah. It's on top of the mountain. I just wonder what kind of house is he trying to build, envisioning to build. In Romans 3:20 to 22, we could see here that dynamic in the mountain transfiguration and the glory of Christ. It says here, therefore, no one will be declared righteous in his sight by observing the law. Rather, through the law, we become conscious of sin. Now he was speaking, the apostle Paul was talking about that pillar, the first pillar, the law. And no one could become righteous through observing the law. Galatians 2:16, know that a man is not justified by observing the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. So we too have put our faith in Christ Jesus, that we may be justified by faith and not by observing the law, because by observing the law, no one could be justified. No one. So if you are engaging a person that is so tied up with the law, either through Hinduism, Buddhism, or other isms, you know that they are bound for hell and not bound for heaven. Because there is no one that could be justified or declared righteous through the observance of the law. But now, a righteousness from God apart from the law has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. Now, the law and the you could just see the Mount of Transfiguration, right? In this verse. The law and the prophets testify. Moses and Elijah was testifying in that mountain. But what did, if you follow up that story, in the Mount of Transfiguration, there was a bright cloud that appeared, right? And a voice came out of the cloud and said, "This is my son in whom I am well pleased." The Lord is so, the Heavenly Father is so pleased with the son. So once you hinge up in that, you and I hinge up in that testimony of the grace of God through Christ Jesus, that opens up wide the opportunity for us to dwell with Him in the heavenly places. That's why we have the heavenly dwellings. And I'm so excited about that. I remember a time when I was a little kid in our little place in the Philippines. We have a small house. I guess we all have a small house back home, right? And there's this guava tree that goes up to the roof. And sometimes in the evening, in the weekend, I just climb the guavas, eat my guavas, or collect my guavas, and then after that, I just lay down in that roof and look at the vastness of the universe, the stars that is there. And it brings you into that place of worship and saying, wow, what would be next after this life? Right? It brings you to that place of wonder and awe before God Almighty. And added to that, that He calls the stars, each of the stars, by name. Wow! That even the number of hairs in our heads, He knows. You can't help but worship God into anticipation, with anticipation of what is ahead for your life and my life. There are four spiritual highlights of 2 Corinthians 5, 1 to verse 10. And this would be where we'll be flowing this morning. The first highlight would be, we know. In verse number 1, it says there, "Now we know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed," and it will be destroyed, okay, "we have a building from God, an eternal house in heaven, not built by human hands." This is something that we know. And I was reading this material, you know, and trying to work on this material. I've been looking at some of the religions of this world. You know, I visited Hinduism and some of the pictures that they have over there, that they decorate the cow, and there's a picture of an engineer. An engineer bowing down to this thing, you know, and submitting himself to this cow that has been painted and put some flower. You know, it's like when you go down deep, if you're just honest and go down deep, okay, what does this make you? Do you know, do you reach the point of knowing that you will be having a place in Brahman? Would you be a Brahman? Would you be a god? Because they believe that eventually you will become a god. So they could not reach that point of, in all honesty, saying, "Yes, I know I'll be a Brahman after this life." Some of them probably that are not really convinced. Maybe I'll be a cockroach. Maybe I'll be a bird or there's no solid foundation for this thing. It's all wish. Now, we have a term in Greek about faith. Faith. Faith is pistio. And pistio means firmly persuaded. And our persuasion is not something that has been concocted by somebody that doesn't have any reference. Our persuasion reaches out to the law. And the prophets and the testimony, he will be killed, but in the third day he will rise up. Our reference point is so solid, brothers and sisters, that you could go back thousands of years and even during the time at the garden when Eve was deceived and Adam was deceived. So we have such a solid foundation way back. That's why the Apostle Paul in Philippians 3:20-21 says, "But our citizenship is in heaven, Our citizenship, our place is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who, by the power that enables Him to bring everything under His control, will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like His glorious body. Do you remember the time when Jesus Christ was resurrected? That glorious body. There's no wall that could stop it. But the misery is, He asked for fish to eat. Okay? Nothing could stop it materially, but it's, and yet he came to eat some fish. It's a wondrous body, glorious body that just to think about it as a son and a daughter of God, that ought to excite you. If you grow old and everybody's growing old and when you wake up in the morning and you're greeted by pain, hip pain, knee pain, neck pain, you know, you ought to be very excited about this body that the Lord is preparing for each and every one of us. Amen? So that's the first thing. We know. We know. The second thing is we groan. We groan for this time. Now, the evidence that you are really in the Spirit and aligning towards the Spirit, and you see all these things that's going on in this world, you know, you can't help but groan, oh Lord, come, Lord Jesus. Or there's this groaning inside of you. And in verse number 2, it says there, meanwhile, we groan, longing to be clothed with our heavenly dwelling. Because when we are clothed, we will not be found naked. For while we are in this tent, we groan and are burdened. Because we do not wish to be unclothed, but to be clothed with our heavenly dwelling, so that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. Or what is mortal would be swallowed up by immortality. Wow. I long for that day, and I groan for that day. So Romans 8:18-23 says, I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing to the glory that will be revealed in us. Now, we have that word doxa, where we get the doxology, and that has been preached last Sunday, that the glory of God becomes our glory. We become partakers of that doxa. In the Hebrew word, we have kabod. And when the sons of Eli died, remember that time? They were defeated in war. And one of Eli's sons is daughter-in-law is pregnant, and she gave birth, and she named that daughter Ichabod. The glory has departed. Remember that? So kabod, and this word is also applied to the life of Abraham. Abraham was kabod with wealth. He is glorious with wealth. So, bringing it to the New Testament, glory that the glory will be revealed in us. It will be seen in us. The creation waits in eager expectation for the sons of God to be revealed. So even the creation is, you know, they want us to be revealed. They're excited. Creation is excited about us. For the creation was subjected to frustration by its own choice, For the creation was subjected to frustration not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the glorious freedom of the children of God. Next, we know that the whole creation has been groaning as in pains of childbirth right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves who are the first fruits of the Spirit groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoptions as sons, the redemption of our bodies. Again, our bodies has part on that. That's powerful. So groaning is part of our journey. Check whether you're feeling comfortable already in this world and the groaning is fading away. We want more of the groaning. Groaning and longing for the Lord's redemption of our bodies. The third thing about this topic is we have assurance. It says here in verse number 5, now it is God who has made us for this very purpose and has given us the Spirit as a deposit. guaranteeing what is to come. Wow! We have the Holy Ghost inside of us. I don't know if you have remembered the time that I was talking about this, that yes, we are body, soul, and spirit, the bios, the psuche, and the zoe. But we are really spiritual beings inside this tent. That is our true being. We are spirit beings. So when we accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, the Spirit came in and became a deposit guaranteeing what is to come. We are stamped guaranteed of going to heaven in the name of Jesus. Amen. Ephesians 1:13-14 reflects this truth, and it says there, and you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing your inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory. Amen. Somebody asked me, Chaplain, do you think in heaven they have chocolate ice cream? I love chocolate ice cream. And maybe so. Maybe so. You know? Because the Lord knows the things that we need and we want. So, because of this assurance and guarantee that we have, by the way, I think those people that came from, majority that came over here from the Philippines, when you were falling in line in the U.S. Embassy, remember that? That's something you never could forget. You never forget that. You're nervous, you're sitting there, and the people ahead of you, they stamp, reject, 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 and you know, you're swallowing your heart is becoming, you could feel your heartbeat. You guys that were born here, you didn't know that. But we have put that to a lot of things, those people that came from the Philippines. But the moment that seal, that guarantee has been given to you, it was a life-transforming moment. Amen? Nothing could turn you back from that. No one. The seal is so important. And so, when the Holy Spirit seals you as a believer in the Lord, you know, John 1:12, yet to all who receive him, to those who believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. John 1:12. Once you have that right and that power to become his citizen, his child, and heaven is guaranteed for you, nothing else could stop you. Not even Satan. Satan himself could not stop you. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Now, because you are heaven bound, the next thing that happens is, in this verse that is challenging us is, we aim to please Him. We aim to please the Lord. So we make it our goal to please Him, whether we are at home in the body or away from it, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ that each may receive what is due him for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad. So we make it our goal to please the Lord in our thoughts, attitudes, and actions. We don't hide things. If Jesus said, I am the light of the world and you are the light of the world, we don't have any business in the darkness. We make it our choice, our clear choice, that my citizenship is not here. We don't hide things. We put things on the table. We don't play with things when it comes to kingdom. If God is light, then let us identify ourselves as light with Him. Amen? And make it our goal to please Him. This scared me before. Honestly, this scared me before. Particularly verse number 10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ that each may receive what is due him for the things done well in the body, whether good or bad. You know, because my thinking before was, you know, is the white throne judgment. You know, but this is not the white throne judgment, brothers and sisters. This is the Bema judgment. This is where your labor for the Lord, your love for the Lord, your service for the Lord. You think singing over here is an easy thing? Or preaching over here is an easy thing? No. We have to wrestle in our spirit and prepare. You know, the Lord would be challenging, feed my sheep, Alvin, feed my sheep. And it has to be true to me, otherwise I'm missing the point. The point is, if he is light, I should be in the light, so that I may be able to be qualified to teach and to preach. Amen? We are what we say we are. We don't play around with the kingdom of God. So we make it our goal to please him in everything. There's a scripture that says, so whether we eat or drink or whatever we do, do it all for the glory of God. Tess has been very good in feeding me salad. Yeah, sometimes I feel like a goat. Meh, you know. And when I'm at work, I don't have any lunch. I could almost hear her saying, no, 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 yes. And it ended up with salad. So it's, you know, I love Tess so much, so I say, okay, salad. So it's we make it our goal to please those that loves us and those people that we love as well. God especially. He has done so much for us by sending his son. So we make it our goal to please him in everything. Not just in some things, but in everything. So, verse number 10 actually became an encouragement for me. You know, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each may receive what is due him for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad. I'll be thinking, wow, Lord, thank you so much for helping me in the journey all these years. I remember the rejections, the laughing of the people. They, some of them hated me. They keep their distance from me. But you know what? This earth is not final. Our finality is one of these days in the kingdom of God. So we strive to please God, to make our goal to please God. First of all, in that realization of the kingdom. In Hebrews 12, 28 to 29, it says there, therefore, since we have a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful. And so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe. For our God is a consuming fire. You know, our attitude regarding being enrolled to this kingdom, you're going to heaven. You're heaven bound. I'm heaven bound. So let us live with a thankful spirit in this kingdom. Let us be reverence in our conduct and be in awe of who he is. And if you keep that posture, brothers and sisters, it's a powerful journey. It's a joyful journey. It's not a burdensome journey with the Lord. By the way, it says here also in verse number 29, for our God is a consuming fire. You and I should be in that posture. Just knowing the love of God for each and every one of us, you should be and I should be in that posture of saying, yes, Lord, consume whatever needs to be consumed. Burn up what needs to be burned up in my thinking, in my attitude, in my actions, that only the pure would remain and I would be more pleasing to you. Kingdom thinking. In terms of goal setting. The second one is in 2 Corinthians 4, 16 to 18. It says there, our mindset and our priorities should be in that groove. In that goal of pleasing him. Therefore, we do not lose heart, though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. Hey, the Elvin that you're seeing now, the Pastor Elvin that you're seeing now, it's not the Pastor Elvin that I was 10 years ago. If I push that back even during my childhood, I would not be able to stand in front of the people. You know, I would push somebody else. But, you know, we are being renewed day by day by the Spirit of the Lord. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen, for what is seen is temporary and what is unseen is eternal. Where do we invest our priorities? In other words, in goal setting. You know, God should always be number one. There's this Greek word, prototokos. And prototokos means preeminent. God would not be preeminent. He's number two, number three, number four, number five. He won't be preeminent. So allow him to be number one. Set him as number one, your priority. In setting goals again, this is the last in Galatians 5, 16 to 18. I call this the spirit walk. That as the spirit of the Lord, so I say, live by the spirit and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature, for the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the spirit, and the spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature, they are in conflict with each other so that you do not do what you want, but if you're led by the spirit, you are not under law. If you and I are led by the Spirit, we're not under law. This is how we please the Lord in our goal. Thinking about the kingdom, being thankful about the kingdom that we believe, setting him as priority, and living in the Spirit. This is how we survive it in this world. Amen? So, for the last, it says here, our glorious dwelling. And Revelations 21, verses 1 to 5, gives us a picture that you and I will be in this place one of these days. Revelations 21, 1 to 5. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, now the dwelling of God is with man, and he will be with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. Wow. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. He who was seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. Then he said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. Amen. Could you just see yourself in that place, brothers and sisters? One of these days, it's an awesome place. You know, you could see this in your spirit. This is comparable, I think, also to a certain degree when I was in that roof in my house in the Philippines at nighttime, and seeing the stars and the things that the Lord has created. And I said, wow, one of these days, I'm going to check out those stars one by one. I'm gonna go to those universes that the Lord has created and check it out. God is so good. He made a way for us, and his credential is so strong through the law and the prophets that we are safe. And Jesus is right to say, trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and when I go to prepare a place for you, I'll come back and take you to be with me. That where I am, there you shall be also. There you may be also. Wow. Amen. Let's clap our hands to the Lord in thanksgiving. Thank you, Jesus, for what you have prepared for us. You are the way. You are the truth. You are the life. Let us pray. Dear God in heaven, we thank you so much, Lord, for the opportunity, O Lord God, to have a glimpse, Lord, of what is ahead for each and every one of us. Lord, the universe even shouts and declares your goodness and your power, that out of the vastness of your creation, you have gazed your eyes towards us individually, O Lord, one by one. The stars, you know each one by name, and each and every one of us is not a stranger to you. You even know, O Lord God, the numbers of hairs in our heads. You know when we lie down, you know when we rise up. You are so detailed, O Lord God, and so interested in each and every one of us, that you said, I'm gonna leave the 99 to get to the one. Lord, we are the one. I am the one. And we thank you. I thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for giving, O Lord God, that interest for each and every one of us. You have elevated us, Lord, from the dust, O Lord God, to the heavenly places where one day we will be seated with your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. To you be the glory, the honor, and the praise. It's not about us. It's all about you. Father God, I pray for my brothers and sisters and those brothers and sisters, Lord, that has not yet given you the opportunity to invade their lives, and that their lives may be sealed by your precious, powerful Spirit. Lord, let them, O Lord God, come to that place of saying, me too, Lord. Me too, Lord. Thank you for your credential. I enroll myself in believing that you are the way, the truth, and the life. I too would like to come and dwell in the heavenly places that you have prepared for me. Lord, you know that individual, Lord. You know where he is. You know where she is. May you receive, O Lord God, the whisper of her heart, the confession of her faith today. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior, we thank you for your visitation today. We thank you for the encouragement of your Spirit in Christ's name. And everybody says, amen and amen.